we're going to start this year, and we're going to continue on with Jesus' teaching, Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and 6. And we'll be there again this morning. If you have your apps, you can turn there. It'll be on the screen behind you as well. But New Year means that it's a time for, again, new things, new starts, fresh starts, and we look forward to that. Some of us have been in a pattern where we make resolutions, right? It's just a common thing. We start the year and we start a new thing, whatever it is, and we commit to that. The challenge with New Year's resolutions and gym memberships, companies that sell health equipment will tell you that in the first couple months, everybody's gung-ho, right? Because it's fresh in their minds and we resolve and we're going to make it happen. But then as the year carries on, after 2 months, 3 months, those resolutions just drop, they tank. And it's a challenge for our culture when we make resolutions like that. I think if we were more honest in making resolutions that we would follow through on for the year 2015, I think they'd be more in line with this. How about these? I resolve in 2015 to eat more and exercise less. I resolve to eat more and feel bad when I do it. I resolve to avoid conflict as much as possible. I resolve to win every argument I get in. I resolve to struggle in reading my Bible. I resolve to passionately express my disappointment in the driving abilities of others. Now, I'm sure that some of you can relate to some of those things, right? And if we're more honest in what we're going to follow through on, these would probably be more in line with what we would practice throughout the year. We have a problem following through on what we say we're going to do. And I think my hunch is if we practice following through on various things throughout the year, we'd be better at following through on things at the beginning of a new year. Back in Jesus' day, people made vows, made oaths. They're like our resolutions, maybe a step up, maybe a little bit more important, but maybe not. There are some oaths or vows that they made that were very trivial as well. But it was very common in Jesus' day for people to make what we would call something like resolutions, an oath or a vow. Here's what he taught the people of his day in regards to vows or oaths. And this is really critical for us to understand because it was so much a part of their common everyday culture that he had to teach on it because something was going wrong when they made oaths or vows and they didn't follow through on it. And so he actually had to teach people about it. And this is what he says, Matthew 5, starting at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill it to the Lord, the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to do, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. We're going to unpack this here as we walk through this section. Now, is Jesus saying that it's wrong to make any oath or any vow at any time? He's not saying that. In Leviticus 19, verse 12, God tells Moses to tell the people, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your Lord, of your God, I am the Lord. Numbers 30, verse 2 says, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 21, it says, if you make a vow to the Lord, your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth. It wasn't wrong to make a vow or resolve to do something. The point is that God wanted his people to be people of integrity, that they would follow through on what they said and what they did. Right? There'd be a unifying factor between verbally what they say and physically what they do. The problem was that in Jesus' time, this traditional biblical understanding of an oath and the value of it had all been but lost. At some point in time, some of the teachers of the law began to teach that an oath or a vow wasn't binding if it wasn't made in God's name or it didn't allude to God's name. It wasn't binding then. So you could swear by your own name. You could swear by the name of someone else. You could swear by the name of the king. You could swear by the name of some object. But if the vow did not mention or allude to the name of God, then it wasn't binding. You didn't actually have to follow through. It wasn't a serious thing. These are some of the phrases that people would use to make others believe that they were, that they believed that they really wanted to follow through on what they said. I swear by my life. I swear by my right hand. Right hand was very, very important in Jesus' day. If you lost your right hand, you were in trouble. And I'm not going to mention why, but eating and other activities were involved in a right hand, and or you need two hands, right? And I'm just going to leave it at that. But I swear by my right hand. And the best one I found was I swear by my beard. I like that. I mean, we use that today. Beards are pretty popular, hey? I swear by my beard. My beard's important, and it was important in Jesus' day. Big, bushy beards, and it stated something. It said something, right? In some rabbinic teaching, it was taught that if you swore your oath by Jerusalem, I swear by Jerusalem, that it wasn't binding. But if you swore, you made your vow, and you were pointed in the direction of Jerusalem, then it was binding, because your vow was traveling towards the city of the great king where God was said to dwell. So you needed to know the rules. You needed to know the rules in regards to this whole vow making or oath making to know how serious someone was in regards to keeping their word. Was it a trivial kind of thing, or was it a really, really serious thing? And unless you knew the rules, you had no idea if someone was actually desiring at a heart level to really, 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 really be honest with you. And we would think, well, that's ridiculous. But we do this all the time. And we start really young. How many of you, when you were children, said, I cross my heart? You're lying, because more than that said that. I cross my heart, right? Your parents, or your friends said something, and you go, I cross my heart. I'm telling the truth. And your friends would say back to you, what would they say? Hope to die? Right? Are you serious? And you'd say, yeah, hope to die. Cross my heart, hope to die. That's really serious. I'm really telling the truth. How many of you were kids when your parents asked you something, they said, did you or do you know who broke this? And you had your fingers and you had them behind your back. And what did you do with them? You cross your fingers, right? And you'd go, no, I don't know. It wasn't me. I'm not even going to tell a story because I forget it off the top of my head. But the punchline, it was Evan, and he was really, really young. And he was downstairs, and a cousin had come to visit. And in the process of playing, someone got hit, and Evan came up and he said, yeah, you know, Ashley got hit. I think this is the story. And Ashley, because he's right here, so he's going to tell me if this is accurate or not. Ashley got hit, and Charisse goes, well, do you know who hit Ashley? And there was Ashley and Ryan and Evan. And Evan goes, well, it wasn't Ryan. Right? And we learn this young that we have to kind of navigate around some of this stuff. We feel like we have to, right? And Jesus really wants his people to be people of integrity, that if they said something, that they would follow through on that. As adults, we use phrases like, I swear, man, I swear. Telling you the truth, we say things like, honest to God, man, honest, honest. If you want to raise it up another degree, we say things like, I swear on my mother's grave. It's you've probably heard it many times. We say things like, I'm just saying, right? That's a subtler way. I'm just saying, though. And you know that then you're going to get nailed with something. I'm just saying, Just saying. This is the way it is. I'm just saying. And if you text, and this was new to me, but I've learned this. If you want to say the same thing, you can say those words. But if you want to be like kind of trendy and hip and cool, you can use the letters TBH, and it means to be honest. I didn't know that, but I learned that. So to be honest, that's another degree. I'm telling you the facts. Just squaring it away. This is the way it is. We do the very same things that people in Jesus' day did. Jesus' response to the common teaching in his day was, "But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make even one hair white or black." It doesn't sound at all like there's room for an oath, at least not in their everyday lives. And Jesus was emphasizing this as a fact. Heaven was already God's, and they were invoking heaven to give them some degree of authority as to, to back them up and to verify that what they were going to say was true. The earth was already God's. I swear by the land that I own or whatever it was. I swear by Jerusalem. Jerusalem was already God's. The earth is God's. Creation is God's. Everything is already God's. To invoke something as currency to validate what you're about to say. God already knows this stuff. He's already witnessing all of what you say all of the time anyhow. To invoke something else is redundancy. And there's no power to that. Now, some of you say, the thing about changing your hair color, and I had to add this because some of you change the hair color, and you can, right? From white to black, you can do that, right? But not without help. That's the point. Jesus is saying, in and of our own strength, we can't change even the smallest thing. So swearing by our heads, if we don't have our heads, then we're in trouble. We wake up one day and it's not there, then, right? So it's going to be hard. So that's why they would do that. I swear by my head because it's really important. And if I lose my head, well then I won't be telling the truth or whatever it was. But the only reason phrases like these, "I cross my heart and hope to die," and I swear, "honest to God," those kind of things continue to carry weight in validating the honesty of our words is because we're not people of integrity. We have moments of integrity, but we're not people who walk through life integrated with truth-telling. And I was convicted all week because it's even thinking things where you think, if something happened, what would I say? If I got pulled over for speeding because I was going 100 kilometers an hour, but it's icy, and the police officer said, "It's just too fast." You go, "No, it's not too fast. What would I say? How would I get around this?" And we come up with ideas as to how we might be able to get our own way all the time. We don't live in a culture where integrity is expected consistently, all the time, as a matter of fact. Otherwise, we wouldn't distrust politicians. We wouldn't have a hard time with lawyers. And there's nothing wrong with being a politician or being a lawyer, but the overall reputation is one where you bring cynicism and doubt automatically into who they are because they're probably not going to follow through on what they say. That's why we feel like we have to add things to our words in order to let other people know that we're being honest, we're telling the truth. But the thing is, there's no guarantee that we actually are, even if we bring one of these oaths or vows. Dr. Helmut Dilke puts it like this. He says this: "Whenever I utter the formula, 'I swear by God,' I'm really saying, 'Now I'm going to mark off an area of absolute truth and put walls around it to cut it off from the muddy floods of untruthfulness and irresponsibility that ordinarily overruns my speech.' In fact, I am saying even more than this. I am saying that people are expecting me to lie from the start, and just because they are counting on my lying, I have to bring up these big guns of oaths and words of honor." Jesus makes life real simple. If you mean yes, then say yes. If you mean no, then just say no. It's really not that difficult to be people of integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Can you imagine what an amazing testimony it would be in the Christian community and beyond that? But let's just start with the Christian community. If we would be counted on to be people of integrity all the time in our business dealings, we would be completely different all the time with other people. We'd be consistent with husbands and wives, relationships between the two. Always. You always count on it. There's never a time where you would doubt that. There's always integrity. Friendships. Relationships with our people we work with. Jesus simply says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If we were that profoundly simple in our interactions with others, we could always be counted on no matter what. Now, I've heard over the years some people wondering about the validity of taking an oath in court because of Jesus' teaching here. Can they do that? Should they do that? Because Jesus says, don't take an oath, don't swear at all, and so don't do that, right? In this passage, Jesus, again, isn't saying that there's no room for special oaths or vows. You make special vows when you get married. That's a good thing, right? It's expected. There's nothing wrong with that. What Jesus is referring to is when we take our vows lightly. So when we make our vows before God, we're to take them seriously. In a court of law, there's nothing wrong with placing your hand on the Bible and answering the question, do you promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Nothing wrong with saying, yeah, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. But if there's a problem in your conscience, and you say, because of what Jesus teaches here, I don't want to do that, then you have an option. In my reading this week, I came across this. George Fox, the founder of the Quakers, was imprisoned for his refusal to swear on a Bible that he would tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, in a court of law. And this is what he said. You've given me a book here to kiss and to swear on, and this book which ye have given me to say, given me to kiss, says, kiss the Son. So to value Jesus. And the Son says in this book, in the Bible, says, swear not at all. I say as the book says, so he's not going to swear on the Bible, and yet ye imprison me. How chance you do not imprison the book for saying so? Now, obviously, he didn't live during our time. He lived a while ago. But because of George Fox's stand, you don't have to lay your hand on a Bible in a court of law and swear to God that you're telling the truth. You can simply say, I affirm that I am telling the truth. But here's the thing. Even if you never take a vow because of Jesus' teaching, you take this teaching very seriously and say, I'm never going to take an oath or a vow because Jesus says don't do it. It doesn't guarantee integrity. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to be truthful in your interactions. There's no guarantee. The bottom line is, can people count on you when what you say is what you mean to do? Does it mean that if you promise to say if you promise or say that you'll do something, that it always has to happen? And I would say that it doesn't. And I'll get to, I think, a better solution just in a moment. Circumstances may come up. You say, little Johnny, I'm going to be at your baseball game, but there was an accident on the highway and I couldn't get there. Traffic jam and I couldn't make it. Does it mean that you lack integrity? No, and part of this, what Jesus is referring to, it has to flow out of our hearts, that we actually want to, we intend to. When we say something, we intend to follow through on it and be people of integrity. So it flows out of our hearts. It's based on intention, right? And there's a huge difference between saying, little Johnny, I'm going to be at your baseball game, and you don't show up, versus, on your wedding day, you make vows, and you don't follow through on them. You see the disparity there, right? Obvious. It's real obvious. So it's the intention of the heart Our vows, our willingness to say yes to certain things means that we have the intention to do so. Now, and we talked about it earlier, let me unpack this a little bit. We talked about it earlier in Matthew where Jesus talks about lusting after a woman. And every husband in that way has been unfaithful to his wife. Every wife has been unfaithful to her husband in a thinking manner, right, in a thought manner. But there's still a difference. Husbands and wives fulfill their vows, and they honor God when they do so. They're people of integrity. If we took that and we transferred that to our other relationship and we said, we're just very careful what we promise to, little Johnny, I'm going to do my very best to be at your game. And 95% of the time you make it there. The other 5% of the time might be hard for little Johnny to understand why it is that you weren't there, but he'll get it when he grows up, right? And God wants us to really work on being people of integrity. That doesn't mean that we tell people how we feel all the time. It's not what Jesus is getting at. Because we can be very critical and very harsh with other people when we're feeling a certain way and we're very passionate about something, and we can just nail people with our words. In that way, our honesty can be evil, because our intentions aren't to encourage and build up and to love and to care for someone else, even if we have hard things to say to them, right? You can do that in a loving way where a person will understand that you do care for them and you do love them, but you are saying hard things for them. Hard things for them to hear. Be a person of integrity, Jesus says, right? Be consistent in what you say and what you do. Follow through. Verse 37, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that, this comes from the evil one. In John 8:44, Jesus said to the religious leaders, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It's the nature of the devil to lie, to steal, to kill, to destroy. It's his nature to twist the truth, not to tell the truth. It's his nature to deceive and distort. And someone who lacks integrity in their truth-telling serves the purposes of Satan, whether they realize it or not. That's why Jesus says anything beyond this is of the evil one. Because if our intention is not to follow through, if our intention is to navigate around being truthful and honest people, then it reveals that our connection is actually to the evil one and not to God. In Colossians 3, verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The old self is our old nature, where our allegiance, again, is to the evil one, his purposes, where we looked out for number one, where we're in it for ourselves. And that's why we fudge on the truth, right? We lie, we deceive, because it's not going to work out the best for us, and we seek to take care of ourselves. It's our old nature that we're giving into. We're saying yes to the old nature. The new nature says that we're in allegiance to what God wants for us. We're holy, we're pure. Again, this is a process, right? But we need to walk in this new nature and receive this new nature. It's a discipline. It doesn't just all happen. And I don't know how many times I've encountered it where people have come to faith in Christ and they're new believers and things are great for the first 3 months, and all of a sudden something happens and they're devastated because they didn't think it would be this hard. And it is just, it's a lot of hard work and discipline to walk closely with Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now we say that because of Christ and our acceptance of his death as payment for our sins, right, because of what he's done for us, we're new. We're new creations. We're new creatures. The old is gone and the new has come. We have a new identity. We've been adopted into the family of God. All of that has happened. But the practical, everyday life decisions that we make either move us more towards Jesus, right? Or we don't move towards Jesus. We don't become more like him. It's not just a piece of paper. Here, you're good, you're in. If we fail to be people of integrity, we're not submitted to the new identity that has been granted to us through our relationship with Jesus. And to some degree, we'll always be under the influence of the old nature, the old desires that we have, to get out of things, to lie, cheat, steal, all those kind of things, right? And we can just list a lot more. Putting on the new self isn't just a one-time event. It's what the Bible would call being sanctified. Slowly making a daily decision that today I'm going to move towards Christ. I'm going to, you know, try to do what he would want me to do. I'm going to rely on his Holy Spirit. It's what Cheryl mentioned earlier, that she's going to seek to do certain things, right? That's our heart's intention, is to move towards Christ. It's an ongoing discipline. Some of you are pretty good eaters, but you have to be disciplined in that. Some of you are pretty good athletically. It's a discipline, though. You have to work at it. Some of you are pretty good academically, but you have to work at it, right? Some of you are very good workers. You work hard, you're diligent, but you have to work at it, right? Now, there are other times where we go through other seasons where we're pretty good being lazy, but you have to work at it. You do. You have to determine in your mind that you're not going to do this or you're not going to do that. There's some times where you're pretty good at not listening to other people, not receiving what they have for you, but you have to work at it. You have to choose not to. I'm not going to allow those words to, you know, to impact me. It's just really important, so important for God's people to be people of integrity, that Jesus takes time to address something as simple as making oaths and vows. Be careful with what you say. The new nature that Jesus grants to us includes things like the guarantee of being known and loved in community. He knows and loves us, and he calls the same for all of his people, that we would desire to know and love one another, to care for one another, to be there for one another, where we don't have to hide, we don't have to pretend. We don't have to be scared. We can relax and be at rest knowing that there are people just like us who God loves. We're in process. We're not perfect, but we're moving towards Jesus. That's our heart's intention. If we have anything to offer the world in 2015, more important than this, what would it be? To reflect the heart of Christ more, more and more and more every day. That's why a simple yes or a simple no is so important. That's why integrity is so critical, because it reveals the very nature of Jesus in us. What can you do to make a profound difference in the year 2015? Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Be people of integrity. Practice the discipline of expressing your heart's intention to follow through on who God calls you to be, who he's created you to be, and enjoy his company this year. Worship team, come on back up.